So, and we're going to be reading from Jeremiah chapter. Actually, I got it here. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 1. Real quick, I remember this is part 2 of our message from last week. The cost of disobedience is greater than the cost of sacrifice. I really encourage you to go online, lhupc.org, if you weren't here, to listen to that message. And this will be a continuation of it. The Lord has given me a strong burden to deliver this message. Are you ready to receive it? Amen. Jeremiah chapter 35, verse 1 says, "The word which came unto Jeremiah from the Lord in the days of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, who was the king of Judah." And this is what he said. "Go unto the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them, and bring them into the house of the Lord, into one of the chambers, and give them," I want you to pay close attention to this verse, "give them wine to drink." It's very interesting to me. "Then I took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, and Habazaniah, and his brethren, and all his sons." All right? "And the whole house of the Rechabites." Next verse. "And I brought them into the house of the Lord, into the chamber of the sons of Hanan, the sons of Igdaliah, a man of God, which was by the chamber of the princes, which was above the chamber of the Messiah, the son of Shalom, the keeper of the door." Verse 5. "And I set before the sons of the house of the Rechabites pots full of wine and cups. And I said unto them, drink ye wine." Play close attention to verse 6. "But they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine, neither ye nor your sons forever." I want us to skip to verse 18. I hope I have that. Thank you. Verse 18, same chapter 35. "And Jeremiah said unto the house of the Rechabites, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, because ye have," everyone say that word, "obeyed the commandment of Jonadab your father, and kept all his precepts, and done according unto all that he hath commanded you, therefore thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel." So God has a message, and we're going to talk about what that message is. Because they were obedient, even when the prophet told them to do something, they did not do what the prophet asked. They did what was commanded of them. The Bible says in the last part of verse 19, "Therefore saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever." Father, in the name of Jesus, you put this word on my heart for a church that is going deeper, further, higher in commitment. A church that is absolutely recognizing that this is their moment. This is their day. They are going to be effective for the kingdom of God. We're not playing church. We are the church that is going to turn our world upside down. We're committed. We're dedicated. We're consecrated. And we are going to be obedient, because there is a blessing for us. There is help for us. There is healing for us. We have what it takes.
And so therefore, we don't want to mince words. We want you to preach the full word of God. We want you to convict us. We want you to challenge us. We want you to change us. Because anything that is challenged and changed is going to be effective. And that's what we want. We want to be an effective, on fire, sold out church. And we know that your will is upon us. And we say, let your will be done. We humble ourselves before your mighty hand, oh God. We pray it in Jesus' name. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
Praise God. You may be seated in the house of the Lord. It was inconvenient. It was inconvenient. This was, hear me, a great prophet that was with them. Most others don't follow this. It was not a salvation issue. Please hear me. Consecrations and dedications that you make are not always about heaven and hell.
Right, right.
And you have to understand that.
Right.
We are on our way to heaven. Have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Yeah. Filled with the Holy Ghost? Put your faith in Jesus Christ. That is our destination. That's where we're headed. That's where we're going, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So we're not talking about salvation issues. But we're talking about these men, the son of Rechabites. That's what we're talking about this morning. There was something in them that they said, we are going to be obedient to what we were told. We understand that the cost of disobedience will cost us more than making this particular sacrifice in the area that comes to wine in this context. And the blessing that was pronounced upon them was great. Jonadab, the son of Rechab, shall not want a man to stand before me forever. We are all here in the house of God because we want to be in the presence of God. We are all here in the house of God because we know that in the house of God, there is healing in the house. There is joy in the house. There is peace in the house. We are here because we understand that when the praises of God goes up, the favor and the blessings of God comes down. And I don't know about you, there is nothing greater than not playing church, but when the true anointing of God begins to move upon a congregation, I'm not talking about hyping ourselves up. I'm talking about a deep, intimate worship when our hands go up and our eyes are closed and the glory of the Lord begins to be in our midst. Let me tell you, church, that's what we want. We want the pure and unadulterated true move of the Holy Ghost in our midst. And when the presence of God shows up, let me tell you right now, there is no possible way you leave the same way you came in. When Jesus shows up, he changes everything. When Jesus truly is honored, and when Jesus knows that he is welcome in a house, then let me tell you, things are going to be different, things are going to be better, and things are going to change when the presence of God is in our midst. And so these men had a promise because of their obedience. They said, not one man, praise God, will ever have to desire or want to be in my presence. My presence is going to live with him. My presence is going to reign with him. And I'm telling you, I can hardly contain myself. I love being in the presence of God. I might have had a rough week. I might have even fell short of the glory of God. I might have sinned some areas of my life. But when I come in the house of God, I say, I feel something inside of me that says, I'm making you more. I'm going to lift you up. Has there anybody ever been down before you got in the house of God? But about 1 o'clock, you say, I'm so glad I went to the house of God. I'm so glad I was in his presence. I'm so glad I felt his mercy upon my life. Is there a witness that knows that Jesus' love is real and he cares about us so much? I love the presence of God. I don't quote-unquote love church,
You got to separate it not just being church. You have to make it more about the God of the church. Don't come here just to be seen and say, I went to the house of God. I'm telling you right now, I've been in church a long time. That's not going to fix it. But when you come in the house of God, you might as well humble yourself and say, Lord, I need a move of God. I need a word. I'm not here to play games. I'm going to go through some things on Monday and Thursday. And God, I need a word to touch me. I need a word to fix me. I need a word to challenge me to be better. Is there anybody that wants more than just church? But you want something to change your mindset. You want something to change your spirit. You want something to lift you up when you can't pick up yourself. You want somebody to come and tell you that every last thing going to be all right when you turn it over to Jesus. Let me tell that in plain English right now to somebody. Everything is going to be all right when you just truly begin to worship your God and get to know Him. Everything is going to be all right. He's a way maker. He is a way maker. He is a way maker. He will make a way in your life. He'll make a way in your spirit. He'll make a way in your home. He'll make a way in your mind. He makes ways. That's what He does. He makes ways where there is no way. God is so able to do anything but fail. So we want that. We want to stand in the presence of God. We want Him to speak to us. We want Him to challenge us. We want Him to change us. And when you stand before the presence of God, we desire to hold the teachings of the first church, the apostolic church. Had the Mormons come in my house, talk to them. I said, well, what was the date of your foundation of your belief system? Well, Joseph Smith came in, blah, 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 18-something. What about before that? What was happening before that? We trace our roots to the apostolic church, which traced their roots to Father Abraham. And we say we're living by the principles of our first fathers. We will go back to the original time period, the original date period. That when you understand, when you worship in this church, you're not worshiping in a church that has false doctrine, that's teaching you the doctrines of men. But I'm telling you, it's what Jesus talked about is what we do here. It's what the apostles taught is what we do here. We believe in the new birth experience here because we've experienced it and we want you to experience it as well. We believe in one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. We believe there's only one God, and His name is Jesus. We believe that Jesus is the Father. We believe that Jesus is the Son. We believe that Jesus is the Holy Ghost, and all these three are one. We know there's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. We believe He is a lily of the valley, and we believe He's a bright and morning star. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is El Shaddai. He is Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He said He's a wheel in the middle of a wheel. He is a bright and morning star, and His name is Jesus. I said His name is Jesus. He is awesome, and we believe in Him. And not only do we believe in Him, we believe that you got to be baptized in the name of Jesus, because the power is in the name, the authority is in the name, the deliverance is in the name. It's all in the name of Jesus. I want to be identified with Him. Sister Barlow, when you got married to me, July 13, 2002, you took on my name and we became as one. When you go down in the name of Jesus Christ, you take on the name of the Father. You take on the name of the Son. You take on the name of the Holy Ghost, and you become a child of Almighty God. And let me tell you, there are perks and benefits on being the child of God. There's some things that my kids get that you can't get. There's some blessings that God says I got, but you can't have them unless you're a son or daughter of the King. Is there anybody here glad that you have the name of Jesus? I say, is anybody glad that your sins have been washed away? Is there anybody glad that there's no more shame? because of Jesus. I need to calm down. We believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues. We believe this experience is real. The wonderful thing about it is 2020. And now it's not just quote unquote for the Pentecostal crazy people, but now Baptists are getting the Holy Ghost. Presbyterians are getting the Holy Ghost. Catholic men and women are receiving the Holy Ghost. Because it's not because of us. It's the promise that the Father said he would send in his name. That because he let the Comforter could come. And let me tell you, the Comforter is here to change somebody. To give you a brand new hope. I'm so glad I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. That changes my mind. Changes my spirit. Gives me hope. I don't have to do it by myself. I got a leader. I got a guider. I got a provider. Come on, we ain't doing this by ourselves. There's another perfect people's club. It's a people that have been blood bought and Holy Ghost filled, who leads and who guides my life. If you're glad you have the Spirit of God, clap your hands and shout with the voice of triumph, like you believe in the power of the Spirit to change you. We believe in living through the power of the Holy Ghost, a separate and holy lifestyle. Don't get bent out of shape. Why do we get bent out of shape when we hear about holiness and separation? Probably because you were taught wrong. If I'm holy, and if I'm consecrated, and if I'm separated, that makes me special. Are there certain utensils, dishes, things in your home that you don't let your children play with? Is it bad because they can't play with it? No. It is what that thing represents. It is set aside. It is holy. It is consecrated. It's not bad. So when a preacher talks to you about being separate from the world, understand that that means God has called you to be different. That's a special place. And when you really stop and think about the God who created everything, has called you, has called me, I get to serve him, not I have to serve him. We gotta get this thing right. Ain't nobody making me do nothing. I've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. I'm a chosen vessel. So now, God, what everyone do, I make myself ready. I make myself available. I make myself consecrated for the will of God. So if there's anything inside of you that wants to be more than what you are by yourself, you need holiness. And you need separation. Because it positions you in an area that says, I can use that vessel. God does not use every vessel. He makes use for consecrated vessels. I'm reading my Bible right now in a daily study. And you see the priest. You're the tribe of Levi. You're going to be leading worship. You're going to be in my presence, so I need you to live differently. I need you to act differently. I need you to dress differently. I need you to be different. Why? Because you're special. You see how you have to understand it? It's not about rules and regulations and legalism. You get it wrong. No. I am saved, and because I'm saved, I choose to live this way. Because he made me new, I want to stand apart and be in a position where you know that I'm a child of God. So hear me. Hear me this morning.
Later on, that same prophet who was obedient and speaking that prophetic word to Jeroboam. Again, I got to repeat a little bit what I talked about last week. Remember, there was a king who had a prophet came to him because of his sin, and the king said, your son's going to die because of your disobedience. That was the prophet who gave him that. The prophet, though, was instructed that after he left that word to Jeroboam, he was supposed to go a different way and not to stop and to be obedient and go home, and that's it. Well, here he is. He's a prophet. A different prophet shows up. Let's pull up 1 Kings 13:17. Now follow me. I know this might, you've never heard it before. It may get a little choppy, so stay with me. So the prophet is, after he talks to Jeroboam, puts a curse on Jeroboam, that prophet is going home. All right, little Rodney, come help me out. A different prophet shows up to this prophet. And this prophet says, he says, hey, the angel of the Lord came to me. And he wants you to come and eat with me. And then I first say this back to him. It was said to me by the word of the Lord, thou shalt eat no bread, nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. That's why I told you, you're a prophet. God told me that. What's the next verse say? Well, I gotta teach it to you, so sit down. Thank you. Back that off. All right, so what happened? He ends up saying to me, I am also a prophet. Come on, stay with me. Stay with me. Because you're going to have good people speak into your life. And he says, I'm a prophet too. And the angel really did come to me and tell me to get a hold of you. And you are supposed to come and eat with me. So I said, okay, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to go with you. So he goes with that prophet. And he eats, he hangs out. He thinks everything's fine because that guy's a man of God. I'm a man of God. And, you know, we should be fine. If you keep on reading the verse, what happens is that now man of God tells me you disobeyed God. Here's the problem, though. It was convenient to listen to something that tickled my ears. I mean, it was a long journey to go to Jeroboam. And now another familiar person that identifies with my struggles, my pains, my worries, he wants to connect with me, so it's more convenient to ignore what God told me because this sounds good. And fellow people will tell you things that sound good, but it's not what you got originally from what God told you. And there's a problem with people that lose their consecrations because fellow people tell them it ain't necessary. Let me tell you, you better listen to what God has told you first. So that's where I am as a man of God for this house. The son of Rechabites got told by their forefathers to don't drink wine. Others might drink wines, but I can't drink wine. Others might live how they want to live. I can't knock what they're doing. I have to be obedient to what my fathers gave me. I hope somebody's hearing what I'm saying. And so we are not going to remove the old landmarks. We are going to keep on preaching and teaching the same thing we got from the beginning, because the cost of disobedience for me will be greater than any type of sacrifice I'm going to make, because I cannot allow God's blessing to be removed to because some other prophet or some other church does it a different way. Are you hearing me right now? This is Bible. I'm giving you the word of the Lord. Hey, come in the house of God. Eat and drink with me. Chapter 13, verse 24. It was still disobedience. And when this prophet was gone, a lion met him. Sister Kylie, you talked about being reverence. That's where I'm coming from. I'm coming from a spirit of reverence to God, what he put inside of me from a child. There's things that have been put inside of me from a child. Just like the son of Rechabites. They couldn't drink wine because, hey, I never done it before. I can't change it now. So a lion met him by the way, and the lion slew him, and his carcass was cast in the way, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the carcass. They didn't even eat him. He didn't kill him out of hunger. He killed him out of
disobedience. Man of God, the cost of disobedience was greater than the sacrifice if you just said, no, I'm going to pass. I'm going to obey God. Obeying God outweighed the lasting consequences. And again, you might not always see the consequences immediately. That's just the grace of God. That's not permission. Thank you. It's not allowance. It's the grace of God to say you got time to get back on track. Now look at verse 26. And when the prophet, little Rodney, that brought him back from the way of the Lord heard thereof, he said, it is the man of God who was disobedient unto the word of the Lord. Therefore the Lord hath delivered him unto the hand of the lion, and hath torn him and slain him according to the word of the Lord which he spake. For it was said to me, verse 17, thou shalt not eat bread or water, turn again. The thing about it is, he had just delivered a word to the king. So he was absolutely a man of God. But that did not excuse his disobedience. Please hear me right now. Hear me right now. Every single one of us, human nature and human pride, we all, me included, say, that ain't me. Preach, pastor, that's for sister so-and-so. Preach it hard, pastor. Brother so-and-so needs to hear that word. You are the person I'm talking to. You are the person I'm talking to. You are the person I'm preaching to. That you got to consecrate and you got to be obedient to what God has told you to do. I can't allow the voice of my peers. Guess where we get in trouble? Yeah. Well, they don't do it. Okay, carnal illustration came to my mind. Sorry. I love basketball. It was a tragic death of Kobe Bryant, right? And you hear his story over and over again. And what people called him, they called him a black mamba. Why? Because the things that he did, he lost one time, and he didn't talk to his teammates for 2 weeks. And he would go in the gym early, practice for hours after games. He would practice for hours. What was he doing? He was consecrated to his profession. Others didn't do what he did, while at the same time, others didn't accomplish the same things he accomplished. The reason why I preach to you this way, and you better hear me, we are not an ordinary status quo church. I know some of you might miss it, but the reason why I preach this way is because we got something that we got to go forward and go after. The reason why I preach this way is because we have a responsibility to this world, and we will not sell ourselves short. We will give everything for God's will to be upon this church and the greater blessings to be upon us. So I can allow the voice of my peers to remove from me what God told me. One of my mentors told me this. I never forget this phrase. Hear me right now. Hear me. One of my mentors, he told me this. He said this. He said, Rodney, others may, but I cannot. I know others drink wine. I know others do this. I know others do that. Others may, but I cannot. I don't base my consecrations on the level of somebody else's consecration. Where did it come in Christendom that we're trying to go to the common denominator, the lowest level? Reuben was rebuked by his father Jacob. He says, Reuben, you are unstable as water. What is it about water? Water will always adjust to its surroundings. Whatever water goes in, it'll be a bowl, it'll be a cup, it'll be a lid, it'll be whatever. Whatever the shape that water's in, it will turn and conform into that. God has not called us to conform. God has not called us to be like everybody else. Is there anybody that says, I want to be separate? I want to be consecrated to what God wants me to be.
Others may, but I cannot. It must have been convenient to have fellowship with that prophet. He had more fellowship with others when he let down that standard and eat. He had more people surrounding him rather than being isolated by himself and being the holy rollers, the separate ones. It was easier to fellowship with Christendom if he just went over there. Are you hearing me right now? It must have been convenient to be around someone else who was like-minded. We had the same basic beliefs. Why do you got to do all the extra stuff? Come on, people talk to us that way. God is calling us to be fully committed, to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. One opportunity within the church is what I call, it's probably not original with me, but I call it that, is the spirit of Ananias and Sapphira. Now, please hear me. I want everybody, including me, say this. He's talking to me. Please. You're done. Please make what I'm saying personal. Don't brush it off. So I'm talking to you about the spirit, me included, of Ananias and Sapphira. Ananias and Sapphira were in the middle of the first church revival, and people were sacrificing. People were giving everything that they had. Don't jump to conclusions. Hear what I'm saying. Ananias and Sapphira was caught up in it as well. And they sold their home, let's say $100,000. And they sold it for $100,000. And they came to Peter and the apostles, and they gave Peter and the apostles $90,000 and said, this is all the profit we made. Here you go, it's to God. The spirit of Ananias and Sapphira is pretending you're giving all, but you're not really giving all. Just let me do things that look like I'm committed, but I'm not really committed. That's a spirit of Ananias and Sapphira. I will go to the house of God, but I won't support the house of God. It looks like I'm a part, but I'm not giving 100%. Do not be too shallow to think Pastor Barlow is preaching about money, because I'm not. I'll go to where they preach, but I won't spread the gospel myself. I'll read and listen to the Bible, but I won't hold to all the doctrines of the Bible. I'll be around what's happening, but I'm not the one that is praying for revival. Are you the one praying for revival, or are you just rejoicing in the revival? Are you a part of revival, or are you just a recipient of the revival? I'm not the one teaching others the Bible. I'm not the one that's fasting and praying for a breakthrough. I'm just around, and it looks like I'm here, but I'm not. Because I think being here is just showing up. You're not giving everything. This is just something that I just want to be a convenience to me. This doesn't have to be my whole life, Pastor. Most people just go to church on Sunday for an hour and a half and they live their life. Why do you demand so much here?
Is this you guys' first church? Probably not. Other churches just show up, you know, sing a couple songs, go home. It's all good. Not at Lighthouse. Hallelujah. Not at Lighthouse. We got work to do at Lighthouse. We got people to save at Lighthouse. We got people to see delivered at Lighthouse.
It wasn't the fact that they did not give the 100,000. They didn't have to give the 100,000. They just shouldn't have lied that they were giving the whole amount. Do you see the difference? Don't say I'm committing everything when you're not. Just say, Lord, help me commit. You see the difference? Help me do better. Have a hunger to do more. We're not asking for perfection, so please, I pray that I am not being misinterpreted here in this church. We're not asking for perfection. We're asking to seek perfection. You see the difference? Me included. I'm not perfect. I can't even get the hot water on. Please hear me. Our theme is what?
Thrive.
Thrive. We all want to thrive and hear him say, take up your bed and walk. We don't want to hear him say, take up your cross and follow me. We all love hearing, rise and be healed. We don't like hearing, take up your cross. It's going to cost you. It's going to hurt. It's going to be inconvenient. Sometimes it's not going to make sense. That's the church we're building. That's a strong church. That's a thriving church. I'm wrapping it up. The rich young ruler. Hey, Jesus, what do I need to inherit eternal life? Well, just do all the things you did from your youth. Love your neighbors yourself. Give, you know. And you know what he says? Perfect. Like us, right? I'm in church this morning. Hallelujah. I'm here. I showed up. And Jesus says, oh, there's one. There's one thing. And we all have at least one thing that we have not committed. There's still one thing we've kind of held back. And I you know what it is. I'm not here to just read everybody's mail. You know what you have held back. You know what you said. Nah, not that much. And Jesus said, sell everything, give it to the poor, and follow me. And he couldn't do that one thing. I'm preaching today about us doing that one thing that says, whatever it takes, I'm committing everything. I'm committing it all. And so if it is time, let it be time. If it is prayer, let it be prayer. If it's teaching, let it be teaching. If it's giving, let it be giving. But whatever it is, commitment, whatever it is where you're lacking, then step it up if you want to thrive. Let me tell you something. 2 Kings 13:14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness whereof he died. But before he died, Joash the king of Israel came down to him, wept over his face, and said, oh, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, and you all can stand now. He said to the king of Israel, put your hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow, hear me right now, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. What that meant in their terms was, this is now your opportunity to walk in great deliverance from this moment on. From this moment on, this right now is your opportunity to walk in great deliverance. The deliverance from Syria, for thou shalt smite the Assyrians in Aphek.
till thou hast consumed them. Every one of us has our own personal Syrians or enemies of our lives. Enemies that we're dealing with, battles we're waging in, and they bother us. Temptations, whatever it might be, but the Lord has provided an opportunity to defeat those Syrians. He said, take the arrows, and he took them. And he said unto the king of Israel, smite the ground. And he smite three times. One, two, three. I did it, preacher. I did the minimum requirement. I did just enough to get by. I'm not backslidden. I'm not evil. I did it. Verse 19. The man of God was wroth, was angry with him, and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou had consumed it. Whereas now you're only going to smite Syria three times. What does that mean to us? God wants to give you extraordinary blessings and favor. But you're not, and I'm not going to get it through minimum sacrifice. You want to smite your enemies until they're completely gone? It's going to cost you more. It's going to cost me more. We're going to have to smite until our arms get tired, but we want the blessings of God. But the principle we found in the scripture was, if he had just smitten five or six times, the favor was right there for the taking. And how many of us sell ourselves short because we only want to do the minimum amount? I want you to close your eyes right now. Is God speaking to you about your one things? Is God speaking to you, inviting you through the prophet to take the wine? But you're saying, no, I'm not taking it because somebody in my line, my lineage, someone in my life told me that we shouldn't do it. I'm not going to change it because somebody else does. Is there anybody here that knows that God gave you a word and there's other people that want to change it? Is there anybody here that you're tired of giving the minimum requirements? I'm not talking about salvation this morning. I'm talking about consecration. I'm talking about sacrifice. I'm talking about giving more that God can make you a vessel today. And God wants to prosper some people in some new areas of your life. We're poised for revival. We're poised for growth. We can see it even in the service today. All month we've been singing 2020. But God can do so much more. If we say, I'm not giving 80, I'm not giving 99, 99 and a half won't do. I want to give everything 100% to God. Why? He's coming back soon. Will he find faith? Will he find me giving everything? If that's you this morning, when you're saying, hey, I'm not coming down because I'm the worst sinner. I'm not coming down because I'm all messed up. No, I'm coming down the altar right now because I'm making a consecrated effort in response to this message that God, I'm ready to sacrifice. If you are ready to sacrifice, I want you to leave your area. I want you to come down. I want you to stand. I want you to stand in a position and say, Lord, I surrender myself. I'm begging you, God, that I'm saved. But now let me consecrate my myself. Let me make sure I'm giving everything for the cause of the church and the cause of the kingdom. I want to be totally surrendered. And whatever my one thing is, whatever your one thing is, lay it down and say, God, I commit it back to you. Whatever that one thing is that you held back, it is your moment to get it right. And let me tell you, those blessings that will come along with that sacrifice, you're not doing it in vain, but you're doing it trusting that God is going to honor you. In Jesus' name, Jesus' name, Jesus' name. I say, just reach out to him. Just reach out to him. You're just saying, God, my mind's made up. Come on, hold nothing back. Whatever it is, give it to Jesus. He'll multiply it. Whatever it is, surrender. Whatever it is, God will honor your commitment. He honored the commitment of the Rechabites. He said, you will never have anybody that wants to be in my presence. God will favor those that say, God, I'm not doing it to be saved. I'm doing it, oh God, to get myself in a position and you can use me however you want to use me, Jesus. However you want to use me, God. I got to make some changes. I got to reprioritize some things. I got to readjust some things. I got to study a little bit. But Lord, I don't want to hold one thing back. Come on, you got to reach out. Let it be from your heart. From your heart. Whatever the things that God's exposed to you. Say, God, I let it go. I let it go. I let it go, God. Hallelujah. That's it. God's doing it right now. God's doing it right now. God's doing it right now. That's it, intercessors. Intercessors cry out. Intercessors cry out. You know, we need move of the Spirit. It's a spiritual move. It's a spiritual move. Because God is setting us up for something greater. God is setting us up. We're positioning ourselves to be set up for a greater revival. And God will use you. Yes, you. God wants to anoint you. God wants to help you work this plan out. You have a calling. You are an instrument for the glory of God in this hour. Let the burning flow of this house. And the burning be so strong in this house. Give us a burning today. I give everything. I give you everything. I give you everything. Holding nothing back. Holding nothing back. Holding nothing back. Thank you.
Thank you.